share a little bit of time together around the Word. We are a faith community here, and our faith is in the God that we're worshipping this morning. Our faith is in all His promises. Our faith is in who He is, what He stands for. Our faith is in what He's given to us. That's where our faith comes from. And as we worship, we just engage with Him, and it allows Him to speak into our hearts. And I just want to just kind of give a reflection on something, and then I'll bring the Word that I've got this morning. We've sang that death will not defeat us. If you're alive and still breathing, praise the Lord. Yeah. Are we alive and still breathing? Yeah. Amen. There's a lot of stuff going around, isn't there, in the news? This coronavirus, and I'm not going to give you the answer to it because we haven't got one. Nobody has. Our organisation has directed that we just follow government information and do all the things that we do. So I came in this morning. I gave a hug to Rawaz. I hope I'm okay. Zoff came in and kicked me. He didn't want to be anywhere near me. Did the what's it handshake. It's up to you. You've got to work it out. But our faith says how we trust in Him, and whether we're alive or dead, we will not be defeated. And we have got to stand on that. We don't want fear in our lives. He came to give us peace. He came to give us joy and to give us everlasting life. And we've got to put our faith in what He says. And we stand on that. And what the world needs now, what the world needs today, is a church that is alive and vibrant so that the world sees heaven touching earth. And He does that through the Church of Jesus Christ, of which we are. And so that's how they're going to see a difference. You know, God is not here to curse anybody. He's here to love. And He demonstrates that through the way that we live and who we are. So that's kind of a few thoughts on the coronavirus. It's dangerous. It's killing people. But for us, we stand on our faith in the living God. Amen. I'm just going to bring a few thoughts about, it's an Old Testament story, David and Goliath. And as I was reading the scriptures, I could be stood here for quite a long time reading. So what I'm going to do is just show a short video clip that covers the story of what I'm going to talk about. So this is the background to my story this morning. Thank you, Cain.
God's story, David and Goliath. So part of God's story is about the time David fought Goliath. And it begins like this. David was the youngest of eight brothers. His job was being a shepherd, which meant he spent all day in the field watching sheep eat and roll around the grass. Meanwhile, some of his brothers were off in the Israeli army preparing for war against the Philistines. The Philistines were one of the toughest armies the people of Israel had to fight. So one day, David was taking food to his brothers because his dad asked him to. But when he got there, his brothers accused him of coming so he could watch the fight instead of the sheep. Since David knew in his heart he was just obeying his dad, he didn't mind being misunderstood. Anyway, while David was there, he saw a huge Philistine man, more than 9 feet tall, step onto the field between the two armies. He was wearing a thick helmet and armor and carrying huge weapons. His name was Goliath, and he was definitely used to being the winner. David found out that Goliath had been stepping onto the field like this every morning for the past 40 days and saying, "Give me a man and let us fight each other." But nobody from Israel was brave enough to fight him, even the king. Well, David didn't like that this giant was intimidating the Israelites. After all, they were God's special family. And because God was with the Israelites, they could have courage in any situation. So David, who wasn't even a soldier, told the king, "I'll fight against him." Now, the king thought David was too small, but he really wanted someone to fight Goliath. So he gave in. And David knew he wasn't strong enough to beat Goliath by himself. He believed God would be with him. So he said, "The Lord will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." And the king hoped David was right. He even had his own weapons and armor put on David. But they didn't fit him. David decided to go into battle in his regular clothes. That's how sure he was that God would help him. Anyway, David went to a nearby stream and chose 5 smooth stones to use with his slingshot. Then he walked onto the battlefield to meet the massive Goliath. When Goliath saw how wimpy David looked, he was furious. He thought he'd get to fight the Israelites' strongest warrior. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals." David might have looked like a wimp, but he was actually really brave. In fact, he was so brave that when he was taking care of sheep, he fought off bears and lions. Because God helped him protect his sheep, David knew God would help him protect this special family. David said, "You come at me with a sword, but I come at you with the name of the Lord Almighty." He was explaining to Goliath that God was more powerful than anything. He also added that he would feed Goliath's flesh to the birds, which made the giant even more mad. But David took a stone, put it in a slingshot, and slung it at Goliath. Goliath didn't even get a chance to swing a sword because the stone hit him right in the forehead and sunk in deep. He basically went straight to the ground. Nobody could believe it. Then David ran over, took hold of the giant's sword, and drew it from the sheath. He took the sword and cut off Goliath's head. David carried the head all the way back to Jerusalem. And when the Philistine army realized Goliath was dead, they started running away like a bunch of scaredy cats. The Israelites chased the Philistines, shouting loudly. They had won. God used David, who was just an average kid, to rescue his people. And that's the story of David and Goliath. So, in case you missed it, here's the quick version. David was a shepherd. He brought his brother's lunch. He saw Goliath. Goliath scared everybody. David wasn't scared. He knew God was stronger. David fought Goliath. He used one stone. God helped him kill Goliath. The Israelites won. God's people were saved. And that's a part of God's story.
Okay, I love the stories in the Old Testament and the interaction between God and the men that were chosen by him to fulfill his work on earth. And we can draw from that some faith principles for ourselves. And it's really important that we learn how to apply our faith in whatever situation we're in whatever life you are living, that we learn how to apply God's principles into it so it makes a difference. So here's one or two thoughts around the story. God chose David. That's a great start. It says in the Bible that he chose each of us before the foundation of the world. We are chosen. You are a chosen person in the eyes of God. And so easy to see ourselves differently, to see ourselves in our own weaknesses, to see ourselves in our own failings and go, but God hasn't chosen me. But I'm telling you this morning that God has chosen you. Now the thing about God's choices is that they're not always our choices. Can all of you remember back at school when you used to line up in the playground and you used to pick football teams? I was always chosen first, by the way. Yeah. No.
Very wise comment.
Yeah. But I used to feel so sorry for the ones that just kind of got left right to the end. I don't know whether there's anybody here that was one of those. But I used to pick them when I was captain. I used to pick them because I thought, well, I can make up for their lack. I was that good. All right. I can take on the role of 2 or 3 people here. And so in the natural, we look at each other sometimes and go, he'll never get up to anything. He'll never achieve anything. He's going to be a low-level kind of performer. And we are chosen by God, and God knows us intimately. He knows our heart. And the key about God choosing David for the role that he gave to him was that he knew his heart. He knew his heart. He knew that he loved him. He knew that he would trust him in circumstances that were going to prove difficult. And facing a 9-foot giant is quite a difficult circumstance. But God knew David's heart. He knew he was ready for the task. And while in the natural, we wouldn't have maybe chosen David because Samuel didn't, did he? He was choosing all the other brothers because they were much bigger and much stronger. Yet David, who was in the fields looking after the sheep at the time that this prophet was going to anoint the next king of Israel, he said, is there anybody else? Because God's not chosen any of these. And even Samuel was going, well, he looks really skillful. Him, he looks like the kind of guy who could lead the nation. But God chose David because he knew David's heart and he knew him intimately. God's choices are often unexpected. He often puts people in places and you go, I would never ever have thought that. I would never have expected that to happen in a million years. And I've said many times that I would never have expected to be in front of a group of people talking about the awesomeness of God. It just wasn't on my radar at all. But I was chosen by God. And it's really important in our Christian walk that we understand that we are chosen by God, not by men. Because men, when they choose from what they see sometimes, from the natural abilities, from the natural agilities of people. But God doesn't choose like that. He chooses from our heart. God saw David when he was in the fields minding sheep. What seems like quite an insignificant job to his brothers who were in the army serving God, trying to bring victory over the Philistines. And David was there in the fields looking after the sheep. He was just doing his job, but he was doing his job to the best of his ability. He was conscientious. He was doing the job right. And God saw him. And God saw his attitude. God saw his heart. And he was developing his own skills while he was doing that. And God knew that. Our heart and attitude can very much determine our calling in God. That's who we are. It's the inside of us, isn't it? Our heart. It's how we think. It's how we respond to each other. It's how we respond to God. It's how we look at things. It's the way we do things, the attitude we do things in. And it's really important that when we get called by God, that's what he's looking at. He's looking at our heart and our attitude. God called David. He was chosen by God. And Samuel anointed David as king. But it took some time for him to get from that calling to actually when he became king. There was a bit of a journey in between. And Goliath was one of those in-between moments where David was able to demonstrate his faith in God by defeating Goliath. See, God puts things sometimes in our path. And what they do is they develop our skills spiritually, they develop our heart, they develop our faith, so that as things come to us, we have already defeated the lions and the bears. I've already done all that, therefore I can defeat Goliath, who looks impossible to beat, but with God, all things are possible. And so hard things will come in our way, but God has already equipped us and knows us and allows us to have victory when we trust in him. God created a new future for David. And if you think about where he came from, which were the fields, and if you're ever around a field of sheep, I wouldn't say it's the most pleasant thing to do. It will be hard work, it will be messy, it will be smelly, all that kind of stuff. And God took him from there to somewhere where maybe he never even dreamed he would be. And God does that in our lives. He takes us from where we are, and when we have a right heart towards him, when we are obedient, when we have faith in him, when we are listening to him, he takes us to places and we just go, wow, I never thought this was possible. But that's the awesomeness of God, because when he looks at us, he doesn't look at where we are, he looks at where we're going to be. And that's our journey with him. He takes us from where we are and he moves us to where he wants to be. We have a scripture, don't we, that we always quote. He has plans for us. and a future, plans to do good things in our hearts and in our lives, and we go, yeah, that's brilliant. But it's true. He does have those plans for our lives. And sometimes we've got to look at our heart. We've got to look at our attitude and say, is it right? Can God use me as I am and take me to those places where he wants me to be? God used David. I would imagine David was comfortable with who he was. I don't think he was particularly seeking to be the king of Israel. I don't think he was particularly seeking to overcome Goliath. He was just comfortable where he was. When Samuel came, he was in the fields doing his job. He was okay with that. He knew his skills and capabilities, and more importantly, God knew that David loved him and trusted him for victory. God knew that he could use David. So we've seen the short video of David going into battle, but he went into battle knowing that he was going to win. Have you ever been in a battle where you know I'm going to win? Have you ever played with your grandchildren and beat them? I know I'm going to win. I've got confidence in who I am to beat this child. Those of us who are competitive, it kind of spills out at those moments, doesn't it? When do I let them win, or do I can't help it sometimes, I just win. But God put this heart in David, and David responded, and David went into battle. And he saw the situation, this big man shouting at the army every day, and it offended his heart that somebody was crying out and misusing the name of his God. And knowing his God as he did, he was prepared to be used by God, and he went straight away and responded to the call, I will fight. I will go and I will fight. His brothers didn't think he was there to fight. They thought he'd just come to have a look at what was going on. He was being a bit nosy. But actually, when he came, it was something in his heart that was offended by this opposition to God. And he got, I'm going to do something here. And sometimes, out of our discontent, God will use us. And very often the greatest movements in the world have started with somebody's discontent. That is offensive. I'm going to change the world. We've had that with slavery. We've had that with numerous things through life. As somebody is offended and sees the wrong and wants to put it right. And so maybe you're in a situation where something is offending you. Well, it's a motivation for God to do something with your life. But David went into battle in faith, knowing that he was going to beat Goliath. What a great position to be in. He showed no fear, but he showed faith. He stood against this man and just killed him. I don't think the battle lasted very long, did it? He just went for it, bang, over. And he brought victory to the children of Israel. In all the things that David had done, God had prepared him for what he was going to do. And sometimes we can look at our lives and think, there's not a lot in there for God to use. There's nothing there that God can take hold of and use. But you know what? Everything that we've experienced in life adds to who we are, and actually it allows him to do something with us. And very often the hard things that we've been through in life, the failures that we've seen, the disappointments that we've experienced, when we've put faith into it and it's caused us to grow, he can use all of our previous life in fulfilling God's call on our life. God is always looking at us and preparing giants for us to overcome. You know, I always believe that the Christian life should be the most exciting life that there is. I absolutely believe that. And my disappointment with church in my early days was never like that. And that's why when we talk about our faith in God, we're talking about having these encounters with Him, having these moments where God speaks into our hearts and into our lives, where God does something with us. He takes us from where we are, and He takes us to somewhere where we never thought we would be, because we've got to overcome giants in the way. I don't know what giants you are facing in life at the moment. I don't know. But God has put something in us called faith. It's put into our hearts. And if we activate our faith, it says that all things are possible. We will be overcomers. We will overcome those giants in life. We no longer battle with people with swords. We don't go into battle face to face. But we do face giants in our lives, things that we think are too big for us to deal with, too big for us to overcome, too big for us to even consider beginning the fight. But when we apply our faith, when we put God into it, we are overcomers. He allows us victory through Him. And the great thing about David was, he was only, I don't know how long, he calls him a youth. I don't know what that means. A youth. He was the youngest of all the brothers. He would get all the horrible jobs, I would imagine. That's what the little brothers are for. I've got two of them. It was great. It's your job, that, not mine. So that's who he was. He was a kind of a nothing. He was just ordinary. And God got hold of this young man and transformed him into something that was the King of Israel. And the things we face in life, you know what you're facing. And it says we live by faith. Without faith, we can't please God. It's impossible. But when we recognize our weakness, and Paul says this, doesn't he? He says, when you are weak, then you're strong. When you recognize that your circumstances are beyond your ability to overcome them, then you're strong because you've got to trust in God. You've got no option. And as you read the story of David and Goliath, that's the only option that David had, was to trust in God. That was it. That was his option that day. But he did. And sometimes we're in that position where we go, I can't do anything about this. This is impossible for me. I'm going to have to trust in God. And that's a great place to be. I tell you, that's a great place to be. Because then we can just put all our trust and faith in Him. So we're going to do that right now. I'm just going to pray. And I don't know whether you're facing something and you need to see a victory, you need to see a giant defeated in your life. And you've tried everything, but it's not working. And so the option is, we trust God. That's our option right now. So we're going to pray that God just breaks in. And the faith that we have is sparked into life. The faith that we have becomes a reality, not just a story, not just the words of a song. So let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you know the beginning from the end. We thank you that you know us intimately and chose us before the foundation of the world. We are always in your thought. And Father, we just pray for those in this service who are facing giants. I pray that in their heart right now, by the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to awaken faith. You'll begin to do something in our spirits that connects us with you, and we see the impossibilities that suddenly become impossible because we trust in you. Father, I thank you that you give us what we need in daily life. You give us the faith to overcome. And Father, I just pray right now that our faith will be stirred, our faith will grow, and we will see giants in our lives overcome. Amen.